Reuben Cassange want to help you?
Yeah, I was holding and my line got cut. This is Reuben.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Hello?
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, just hold.
Hello, it's Gary.
Hey, Gary, this is Ruben at Cardiff. How are you doing?
Doing good, Ruben. How about yourself?
It's nonstop. No salesmanship from me. I want to follow up with you. Danny forwarded me your email. I know you shot me one earlier. I've just been buried in it. So I just want to make sure I want to make sure I understand the transaction. So are you getting both pieces or just one, or what's the situation?
I am getting both pieces. They've
okay.
Agreed on $115,000 for both pieces.
$100 and what?
$115,000.
Oh, so they're desperate to sell this stuff.
Yes, exactly. Now we're haggling over the taxes. They're saying they want taxes. I didn't offer taxes because it's an out-of-state seller. I'm working on. Anyway, we're still haggling a little bit.
I can give you that information, actually.
Okay.
So regarding tax, what?
All right. Well, the machines are sitting in Texas, but the owner lives out of state.
Okay. So I can give you the information. I know actually this tax information. It's really easy for me. So this is a consignment sale, correct?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. It's a vendor sale, correct?
No. Well, you're right. It is a consignment sale.
But the vendor's the one invoicing it, correct?
Right. The individual will be the one invoicing it, and I'll pay the individual.
So are we paying the individual or the vendor?
The individual.
Oh, I thought we were paying the vendor.
Well, it's my understanding we're paying the individual. So if it's something's different, then I need to double check with that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's walk you through your options. Do you have a pen handy?
Sure. Go ahead.
So we do what's called private party sales, and we do vendor sales. I thought this one. Let me bring it up, and I'm here to help. Give me one second. Da, 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 da. So there's no way if an individual is charging you that they should be collecting sales tax. I highly doubt that. It's not no way, but I've never seen it before. Like a private
right.
party seller. I just, because mm-hmm. you don't collect taxes, you're not, you know what I mean? Unless it just doesn't work that way from what I've seen. However, if the vendor is selling you the equipment, then yes, absolutely. So let's take a look at this. So what state is your vendor in?
Texas.
All right, Texas, and you're in Texas, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so here's what you're getting at, because you're saying, hey, he's an out-of-state seller, so I shouldn't have to pay sales taxes. We had a company called Strickland, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so here's the way it works, and this is regardless of you moving forward with an approval or not, I can just give you some information that you might find useful. So vendors traditionally, when they're in the same state, they're going to collect sales tax. So they're going to get audited, and they're going to say, someone's going to come and check their books and say, hey, did you collect the sales tax? And they're going to say, well, yes, because this customer's in my same state. Now, the question you're referencing is, well, what if I'm not in the same state? What if I'm in Texas and my seller's in California? Should they collect sales tax, correct?
Correct.
So, reality is, sales tax should always be collected. It just depends on who's paying it, who's sending the government. So in that Texas and California situation, most vendors only collect sales tax in the states they do a lot of in the state they're registered in, and once in a while in states they do a lot of business in. Generally, not a hard and fast rule, generally. So in that California situation, the vendor wouldn't charge you sales tax, but it would still be your responsibility to write the state of Texas a check for the appropriate sales tax. Does that make sense?
I see what you're saying, yes.
Yeah, so a lot of people are under the impression like, hey, because I'm an out-of-state seller, I don't have to pay a sales tax, and that's not true. Simply, it's actually passed on. The vendor doesn't collect it, but the customer is actually the one that's responsible. For a long time, states have actually not really followed up on this, but they're starting to get quite aggressive and telling people, hey, you've got to pay your sales tax. It actually happened to me. I imported something from Turkey, of all places, and they told me, they hit me with the sales tax. So you've got to pay. So regarding your vendor, it sounds like your vendor is in your same state. They're the one, it sounds like, selling equipment. So there's two ways to look at this transaction in terms of documentation. We actually allow private party sales, which means we can pay the seller directly. I want to give you an information on both so you can understand what's available, okay?
Okay.
If you do a private party sale, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess, and here's the reason why. Your seller will have to furnish proof that they own the equipment. We will also do what's called a lien search on both the seller of the equipment and you as the new owner of the equipment to make sure there's no what's called a blanket liens. Generally, most customers, do you have a line of credit or no?
No.
So let's say your seller has a line of credit. They're generally going to have a bank blanket lien. And because they're the one selling and invoicing, we're going to have to go to their bank and have them sign what's called a subordination agreement, which says that their bank won't come across after us and say this is their equipment. Some banks will do it, some won't. With a vendor sale, if the vendor's the one handling the sale, even on a broker transaction, we actually don't put in those rules. So we trust that the vendor has done their due diligence and has proven that they own equipment, that it's, you know, their equipment to sell. And so we don't require those same stipulations. We don't require proof of ownership. And oftentimes in these used piece of equipment scenarios, it's very, very hard for people to actually locate the true like bill of sale or insurance certificate. Some people operate their business off the books. So we can do both avenues. I'm just kind of giving you an idea that the private party sale is messier. If your vendor is discussing sales tax, I'm very confident that this is actually a vendor sale. They're the one that you'll be paying, and then they're in turn probably paying their seller. I highly doubt that the actual individual seller is actually invoicing you, okay?
Right.
Now,
so what I've offered so far, I understand exactly what you're saying, and where I'm going back to, we're going to offer the seller pick up half the tax, not pick up half the tax, to get it back to the dollar figure I need it to be. So we're looking at...
Yeah, I mean, that's your guys' negotiations or whatever. I'm just telling you kind of the way it views on the tax purposes.
Sure.
But yeah, I understand. You're trying to get the best deal, but the guy sounds like he's desperate to sell this equipment, correct?
Yes, he is. And the bank's agreed to release the equipment for the sales price, so we're going to be getting a full release from the bank who has...
Now, is there any financing out on this equipment?
Yes, there is financing out on the equipment, and the bank's going to release everything. So we're going
to okay. When will they release it?
At closing.
I think it's really important for your, and maybe I should get on the phone with your vendor because you might have some things that are not trying to kind of slide anything by you that are completely out of your control, you might be talking about a deal, unfortunately, that doesn't exist yet due to a bank, the financing owed on it, all these moving pieces. I don't even know if we can pay off. I know on like a title equipment, we can pay off part of a lien holder, but to pay off non-titled equipment that's already owed financing on it, that might not work on this file. So I think it might be in your best interest to get me on the phone with your vendor and really figure out who's invoicing, who's doing this deal, and then kind of figuring, because you might get into a chicken and egg scenario. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's really important for you to get on the phone with your vendor and figure this out, because you could get in a situation of, hey, I'm not going to ship this. My bank will not let me ship the stuff until I pay. And it's going to go back and forth, and who knows how much financing is owed on it. Maybe financing is a part of a business loan. Maybe there's really no financing on this individual piece, but they have a blanket lien. So I think getting your vendor on the phone makes sense. Now, you want some ideas of pricing, correct?
I just want to know what interest rate we're talking about. You said it was approved for $100,000 in 60 months.
Once we review the invoices, just so you know, clear as day, I don't control the evaluation of the equipment. That stuff, we need to look at pictures, condition reports, and who the seller is, and that stuff could fall apart. And it's not because I want it to fall apart. It's not in my power. But I can give you an idea of the pricing. Now, I have two ways I can price this out, Gary. The first way is, do you want me to price you out including the sales tax and you paying the difference to us, or just doing $100 through us and paying the remainder to the seller?
Six, one half dozen other for me. It's whatever is the easiest. It's still the same dollar amount to me.
My opinion is, and this is just my opinion is that it's often easier from a paperwork standpoint for us to handle everything, but that's just my experience.
Sure.
All right, so why is this, so how did this go from 200 to 100, by the way?
So he was asking for 200, and I went and reviewed the machines. One machine needs a lot more work than the other, and so I offered. I found out he had an issue with where the machines are. He needed to get rid of both machines. I was wanting to get just buy one. So I offered him, actually when I was there inspecting machines, a gentleman from the bank showed up taking pictures, so it became very apparent to me that the guy was in between a rock and a hard place, needed to get these machines sold.
Okay.
So I offered him a very lowball offer.
Okay.
Basically, I figured I'm paying for one machine and
getting the other for free.
For scrap iron.
Yeah.
It's not my intention is to put it to work, but it's going to not go to work right away.
What's the total? Is this 115 on the invoice, or is it 115 plus sales tax?
115 plus sales tax.
What's your sales tax rate?
8.25.
So what's that total? What's 115 times 1.825? Do you have that number? Yeah, you got a lot of moving parts, and I'm more than happy to help you out. I just think it's probably, you know, good for me to.
24,500. So let's call it 125,000.
Oh, I'll do exact numbers. 124.5.
124,487.50.
Okay. Now I'm gonna double check our numbers after our conversation, but let's just do this. Okay. Now I think my numbers are accurate. Let me just make sure they are, so people don't hate me. When is he going to make a decision to sell you or not?
He's already agreed to my 115 offer. All we're haggling about is taxes right now.
Okay. Give me one second here. Let me make sure I've got my regular numbers. That's why my math is off. Turn line. Okay. So let's assume that you do, you're going to, I'm going to give you two scenarios. Scenario one, I think, makes it simpler. You do two payments down. I'm sorry, you do one payment down of $24,500. That represents your first monthly payment. And 59 remaining payments of $25,32.40. That'd be scenario number one, okay?
Yes.
I'm
still on the phone. All right. Okay.
Do you have to grab that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. The second scenario is we could do $100,000 flat, and you would just pay the vendor the difference, and on that, you'd be looking at you'd be looking at a payment of $2508.63, and that would require two payments due at signing. So if you want to look at it as like as total cost of funds, the better deal is to do the full $124,500 because you're financing more money, but you're not paying much more money.
Gotcha.
You're financing 25% more, but you're not really paying that much more. The payback on those numbers, so let's just come back here. Can you give me the payment I quoted you, please, on the full $124,500?
25.34 something.
Okay. I'm going to trust you, okay? So that means the payback, so let's just make sure we have the exact numbers. 124.5. 24,500 as the first payment. Okay. Give me a second. It's funny, Danny just messaged me on an interoffice message and asked me if I had a chance to speak to you. Oh. Let's just do this.
What I'm really looking for is the interest rate. I mean, I'm not worried.
There's not an APR in these schedules. These are rate factors. So your contract that we're going to provide you, it's going to be a fixed payment program. It's called an equipment finance agreement. It doesn't separate out the principal and interest. But I can give you those cost of funds. Not a problem. I understand what you're getting at. So give me one second. Let me make sure I have all the right numbers for you so I'm not misquoting you. So you're at 25, 32, 40. So your payback is?
$151,944.
Not including your first payment. No, $149. You say $159 or $149?
$151.
No, so you've got $25.32.40.
Okay.
Your payback, and you got 59 remaining payments. So your payback would be, after, not including your first payment, $149.411.60. If you want to include your first payment over 5 years, it's $173.911.16. And that's for financing the full $124,500. So the way you would look at these numbers, and you always want to get to cost of funds, what is it costing me? So if you include your first payment, that means over 5 years, you're paying back in total finance charges over the cost of the equipment, $49,411.60. So to give you kind of a comparison basis, you divide it by 5 years, you're paying $9,800 a year, $98.82.32 per year. Each year the money's out. You know, I think the most important thing here is making sure this approval works and getting us on the phone with, you know, getting me on the phone with a vendor. That's probably the most important thing. Give me 1 second here. So yeah, those are the numbers you look at. And is your goal to like pay this back quickly? What are your goals?
Well, my goal is to pay it off quickly. So, but it sounds like you're going to have a prepayment penalty if I.
There's no prepayment. There's no prepayment penalties on these transactions. These are fixed payment programs that never adjust. With the traditional line of credit, and you know, I'm just giving you the information you need. With the traditional line of credit, they're callable at any time. So that means we can call you and say, hey, look, you owe us all the money back. We're calling the note. It actually just happened to a customer I spoke to. These are fixed payment programs. If your goal is to pay this program off quickly, then a five-year term is not what you want to do. If your goal is to pay this off in 3 years, we can give you a three-year term. Regardless, it sounds like you're getting a great deal on the equipment, and you know, hopefully we'll, our asset management department will be okay with this equipment, which I'd rather get cleared because I don't want you to go down this, you know, primrose path. If we don't have you approved, but I think if you're trying to, in terms of financing and paying this off, is your goal to pay this off quickly?
Well, yes, it is to pay it off quickly.
Okay.
So $24.95.
And obviously, it gets you the start of a relationship. So the next time you come finance with us, obviously, they're going to probably do something better for you. There's obviously no guarantees. But I would say with your transaction, it's really important to kind of go over doing, if you want to pay this off quickly, doing something that's shorter term because you're going to pay less overall.
Right.
I think the one thing, when you're referring to prepayment penalties, I'm assuming you reference that like with a mortgage, correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you have a mortgage?
Yes, I do.
How long is the mortgage?
30 years.
All right. How long have you had it out for?
7 years.
Okay. Have you are you trying to prepay that off?
Nope. I am not. I'm stretching it out the full.
Where?
Years because the interest rate is so low, I'm better off to put my money back into my business.
There you go. And there's no beating around that bush. If you want me to, and let me just give you some terms of what you'd be looking at shorter term so you can do a comparison. So let's look at this. So let's just assume you want to do this over, say, like a three-year term, all right? Mm-hmm. So you want to do this over a three-year term? We're good with anything between 2 to 5 years.
Okay.
let's say we're doing 35 remaining payments because you're putting that one payment down. So, your payment on 5 years, so 35 remaining payments, is going to be $38,23.71. So, you know, you'll pay $16,000 less over, but once again, your payment will be about $1,300 more per month.
Okay. All right. Well, let me think about this. Get through haggling with the seller.
I think the haggling's the least of the problems. I think overall, and do you mind if I speak bluntly and not with a risk of not turning you away?
Please do.
So you got a great deal on the table. I used to do a lot of used equipment, so I understand this. I understand the deal makes sense for you, and you're just trying to eke out a few extra dollars because, look, at the end of the day, you got a guy who's desperate to sell equipment, and you're saying, hey, look, if he's going to – he's not going to close the sale over $5,000. He's in trouble, correct?
Right, exactly.
And you're willing to pick it up. And I can understand that. But that, you know, $5,000's not going to make a difference in your payment. You're talking about, you know, on a 5-year term, we're talking about I don't even know if we're talking about $100. We're talking less than $100. You got the deal that you want because it's so cheap. The most important thing is for you to get on the phone with this vendor and figure out who is invoicing this equipment, who is my bank paying? Because we'll pay a vendor 100% up front. We'll pay them all their money up front. Hey, sometimes we'll pay the private party up front, but if we're paying a private party and there's financing going on this, you got to kind of figure that out. It might be that his bank has a huge loan and it encumbers everything and they're allowing him to sell this equipment. But if there's a specific loan on like this, like an equipment loan on this piece of equipment, I would generally say start talking to your vendor before you waste your time pursuing something that might not be honestly pursuable.
Right, I understand.
So, but yeah, you can give your vendor my direct line. Other than that, you know, once we get the quotes and the invoices and the pictures and all that stuff, we can start signing off on this stuff pretty quickly.
Okay, sounds good. They're anxious to get this closed and machines moved within 30 days. So we'll be talking here the next day or two.
Sounds like a plan.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.